Welcome to the Broad Pod, just a couple of broads interviewing inspiring women.
I'm Becca.
And I'm Jackie.
Let's get inspired together. Don't forget to stay tuned at the end of the episode for a special surprise for our guest. And thank you to WKWC for allowing us to use their podcast studio.
What?
All right, get her done now.
All right, so school's almost out, and that includes for you too, which
yes.
is really exciting.
Oh, thank
so
God.
what is your schedule going to look like? Is it going to be a little bit more flexible?
Yes.
Come and go as
yeah.
you please.
So in our office, in the office of student life here, we still work through the
right.
summer, but it's just easier to take time off. We don't have as many like meetings. There's no, we only have like, I think in a meeting this morning, we have 16 students who are living on campus this summer
oh,
as
wow.
opposed to the normal 500 that live in our residence halls. So it's just a completely different
It's slower pace.
Yes.
Super so, laid back, it sounds like.
Like we can take vacation in, during the year, but like the people in my office, we take a lot during the summer.
Yeah, you kind of know that like, that's not as convenient to
yes.
take it during the year. It's
right.
better to wait for the summertime.
Exactly.
That makes
so,
sense. Yeah. That's a pro of working in
yeah.
higher education. Yeah.
It is for sure. So when do the county and city schools get out?
I mean, from today, it's just a couple weeks. So I think May 17th,
okay.
Around there for all the schools
okay.
Locally. So super, I'm ready. Like I know some people like that I'm very lucky to be able to work from home. So like, I understand if you go to a job that's so stressful to try to figure out like
child care
oh my
stuff.
Goodness,
yeah.
that is hard and challenging and I feel bad, but I am so ready because I am blessed enough to be able to work from home and I want to have my girls home.
Was this Channing's kindergarten
sure.
year?
It was.
It's all of, so this is
yeah.
like her first
inaugural,
year is done.
Like, you
yeah.
know, school, yeah, like real big kid school year, staying all day. And I have seen a change in her in many different ways. Like she is exhausted when she gets home. So there's a little crankiness, but
yeah.
you know, like, she's not as patient with Sylvia. And
when
so
she
that's,
gets home from school?
Correct, yeah.
yeah. Okay.
She just, like, doesn't
that's
want
like
to be bothered.
It's like me when I get home from work. I get
yeah,
it.
I understand.
Totally understand.
Yeah, I mean, because, yeah. you know, she's trying to be perfect all day for
yeah.
the teacher. She's trying to, like, I want to be well-behaved. I want to be calm. And she struggles with focus and sitting still. So when she gets home, she just, like, lets it all
lets
out.
It loose.
You know what I mean? So this summer, I think it's going to be so much better
mm-hmm.
between them, you know, because she's going to be able to sleep in and like go at her own pace. And
yeah, and it'll be like your last summer of just like you and the girls
yes.
before your baby boy comes. So,
yes.
I mean, that's
going to be really nice.
Yeah. Do y'all have any trips planned or anything?
We do. Yeah. Last minute, you're going to roll your eyes or laugh.
Disney.
Yep.
I knew it. I rolled my eyes and laughed.
Yeah. yep. Elizabeth conned us into it. No, not really. She just like mentioned that she was going for her birthday. The end of May. And so Zach was like, I think we might go because we may not get to go for a while. Like with three, it would be a little bit
yeah.
more challenging. But
girls are a good age right now.
Very
to go
good.
Too.
Very yeah. good age. So we're like, yeah, we'll go. It's just like a long weekend. And then we're going to the beach like beginning, middle of June. So it's like kind of back to back, but that's good because like after that, I pretty much need to like stay put
yeah, yeah,
close by,
within,
you know.
Like,
so what about
yeah.
you?
We go on a cruise.
Ooh.
When this is released, it'll be next week. So Matt and I have 5-year anniversary.
That is so,
so we're
fun.
Going on a cruise.
Yeah.
But like it's to Nassau and like Royal Caribbean's Island
awesome.
Or whatever. But Asher is going with my parents. So it'll just be nice to get away for like 5 days or whatever.
That's going to be super fun.
Every summer we go to the beach with my best friend in North Carolina. So we'll do that the third week of June.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it'll be really
fun
nice.
Fun things to look forward to,
yes,
right?
Thank
cool.
God.
I well,
needed the summer.
I'm sure. I bet you do. You need some time to just like unwind.
Yeah, it's been a year. It's been a year. For
I
sure.
bet. All right. So I'm really excited about our guest this time. I always am excited, but she really, stood out to me. I met her a couple weeks ago. Allison Sanders had us come over to Build Your Crown and do like a panel discussion. And Tatum Nicole Helm was mm-hmm. there with me. And she's just so cool and like just like laid back.
Thank
and she just
you.
Has this demeanor. I'm telling you what. Those girls in that auditorium were obsessed with her. Like, at the end of the panel, they wanted their picture with her. They didn't want their picture with me. They wanted their picture with Dave.
That's awesome.
I mean, she's just really cool and chill and approachable and just, like, a really kind, cool soul. So I'm really excited to get to know her a little bit better. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited. I really am. I'm super excited.
Well, I have to tell you, like, this is going to sound weird, but when she said you were coming, I immediately started salivating because literally I had a fried green tomato BLT.
Oh, yeah.
From your food truck.
Yeah.
Literally one of the best things I've ever eaten in my entire life.
We've actually talked about it on our podcast before. So this is,
I tell everybody, everybody loves Jay's Good Grub. Like, I'm full supporter of Jay's Good Grub. And I'm like, have you had Basil's food truck? Like, I am like constantly pushing y'all because it is just on a whole other level. And I know we're going to talk about that, but I'm really excited to know more about you beyond that. But yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. I'm super excited to try it. I have not had a chance to try it with
the fried green tomatoes with like the goat.
I'm so excited. I'm so hungry. I have my appetite back, like when I like food, I'm going to be all over it because I love food. Yeah. But anyway, you could start with icebreakers we'll kind of get into it.
All right. So the first icebreaker question is, what are the top three items on your bucket list?
So this one's kind of hard for me because I never really think about a bucket list at all. I really want to go to Greece. Like, that's one place that I've always wanted to visit. So I feel like that's a bucket list thing. And, like, in hand with that, like, I think snorkeling is really cool. And I've never got to, like, go snorkeling. Like, I want to go snorkeling where you actually, like, see the fish and the sharks and, like, the really cool stuff.
Yeah.
So those are two things that are, like, cliche cheesy, but just at the top of it. And then one thing is, one day I want to own a sober living house that does music for therapy.
That's like
a bucket list thing. I don't know, when I have gone through my struggles and stuff, there was a place in Nashville that a lot of the celebrities go to, and of course, like, an average person can't afford to go to it. But they use music to help rehabilitate, and I thought that was just different and something that we don't have really, like, here, that's affordable and obtainable for people. So that's just a bucket list thing too, I feel like, far in the future. But
that's amazing.
What a cool idea.
I think that's definitely attainable for you.
Thanks.
You can handle that for sure.
All right. So I don't know if you watch a lot of TV, but if you do, what show is your biggest guilty pleasure?
I don't watch a lot of TV anymore. I'm definitely a TikToker. So I don't know if you guys are on TikTok and see, like, the clips of TV shows nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
That's like all that my TikTok is full of, which is probably telling me to go and watch the TV shows. But I would say probably Degrassi. And I don't know if you guys have seen
that. I haven't, but I'm Drake. Familiar.
Yes.
Drake from his roots. Yes.
And the acting was, like, horrible. And it was so over, like, drama. Very much dramatized.
Yeah.
But that would definitely, I feel like, be like my guilty pleasure show because it kind of sucks, but it's also really good.
You're kind of slightly embarrassed, but you also love it.
Yeah, it's really good.
I have a lot of those.
I feel like that's what people say a lot. Like, we all have those, like, we know it's corny.
Yeah.
But it's, like, easy to watch, but like, you also get into the drama.
You do.
We love a Canadian high school drama. Like, I support you 100%. All right. So, who would you want to play you in a movie about your life, and what would be the name of the movie?
So for me, this person has passed away, but it would be Brittany Murphy.
Yes.
I would want Brittany Murphy to 1000% play me. I don't know. I feel like every role I've ever seen her in, like, her energy, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And she was a doll.
Yes. There's just something about her that I'm like, I would want her to play me in a movie. Mm-hmm. So obvious, like, she's not here, but that's who I would want me, like, to play me in a movie.
Yeah.
And then the name of it, I think, would be, like, Gratefully Living. I've just always gone by that. My, like, social media handles are, like, Gratefully Tatum, and I've just kind of, when I was incarcerated and stuff, Gratefully Living just became something that I started to live by, and I got it tattooed on my neck, and I don't know. I feel like you walk through every day and you're grateful no matter your circumstance, and it's a good life. Mm-hmm. So
I love that.
I feel like that's what I would name my movie, just because it's kind of my brand already.
I love that. We know the name of the podcast now.
Yeah,
you made it easy for me.
I literally wrote that down.
Thank you. Uh-huh. All right, so tell us very briefly about yourself. Like, where are you from? You know, where'd you go to school? That kind of stuff.
So I was born and raised here in Owensboro. And I've literally loved living here, honestly. And I do have a daughter. Her name is Basil. She is going to be one next month. But as far as school and stuff, you know, I came up through the Owensboro Public Schools. Very, very thankful for the experiences that I had there. And then I did go to UK for a little bit for journalism. Originally in life, I wanted to be an ESPN sports reporter.
Hey!
mind you, I've never seen any on there that are covered in tattoos. And I was covered in tattoos by the age of like, 17. But I was, like, really driven, and that's what I wanted to do. So I went to UK for a little bit and ended up getting into some trouble and struggles and came back home. And yeah, that's just,
yeah,
my life's been kind of crazy since like 2018, I feel like. Yeah. And I'm finally getting on a more steady path right now.
Yeah, we're looking forward to hearing a little bit more about it. And glad that you're on a good path.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot better.
Good. Well, let's get into it then. So a big part of your story and healing is a struggle with addiction. So what are you willing to tell us a little bit about that part of your life?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, it's took up a large part of my life. My mm-hmm. addiction started at 14, so really, really young. Wow. And I like to say that I was definitely... a addict that could do everything.
Wow.
So, you know, like that was not an addict that was down bad and mm-hmm. wasn't doing stuff. I was top of my class.
Like a high functioning addict.
Yes, basically. Very much yeah. functioning addict. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, that started at 14 and I started with pills and it just kind of continued from there. And then I found myself in trouble at the age of 18 mm-hmm. and I went to jail for the first time then. Due to drugs mm-hmm. and kind of just was very stubborn and would not get sober. So for mm-hmm. 5 years, I stayed incarcerated, in and out of incarceration. And when I wasn't in jail, I was on house arrest mm-hmm. and staying at my mom's house. And then I got in trouble again and they were finally like, we're done giving you chances. And they mm-hmm. sent me to prison. And so I've spent time in prison as well. But, you know, addiction is ugly and I was just a stubborn young mm-hmm. dummy that didn't want to get sober because I felt like my situation wasn't my fault, which is like a large part of addiction mm-hmm. is being in denial for a long time.
Sure.
So as far as like my story within that, you know, it just started really young and I'm just like now, like 2 years ago when I finally had come home from prison, I guess starting to get on the right path mm-hmm. of no longer feeling young and dumb and making bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, so while you were incarcerated, you lost your dad.
Yes.
And how did that kind of affect you?
Honestly, it did not affect me as much as I thought it was going to. My yeah. dad actually was an addict himself as well.
Wow. Okay.
And I think that his life here on earth, he was not the happiest that he could be.
Yeah.
And it showed a lot. And so when he did pass, I don't want to say that I wasn't sad because I was like literally so distraught.
Of course.
But, you know, I grew up with a lot of childhood trauma and a lot of situations that stemmed from his addiction. And I felt like for me, I finally felt at peace, wow. if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Absolutely.
And I knew that he felt at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And as crazy as it is, a lot of people, you know, you watch the TV shows and you think prison and jail is very much one way. But like, I met some of the kindest people I've ever met in my life while I was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was in there and that happened, like that, those ladies pretty much became my support system. Mm-hmm. And I was incarcerated at the time in Spencer County Jail over in Rockport.
Mm-hmm.
And the jailer there, her name is Stella, and she was the nicest person ever. Worked with the funeral home to make sure I could be on the video call. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I got sentenced to prison the exact same day that my dad died.
Oh,
so I feel like it all lined out like how it was supposed to, because had they sent me to rehab and not sent me to prison, I guarantee I probably would have left rehab and not stayed there just due to the circumstances. And if I had the ability to go and get messed up yeah. after losing my dad, I probably would have. Yeah. So I felt like everything played out for a reason. But overall, like the experience of it was very different for me from what I feel like most people experience when they're experiencing death.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time I was coming down mm-hmm. from the addiction that I was having so heavy when I was out. And I feel like that my dad had finally like had peace.
Yeah.
And I felt like that's how I coped with it the best, was like knowing that, because I was experiencing like the same demons at the same time as he was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is really hard.
Yeah.
So I feel like for me, it was like I was where I was supposed to be
yeah.
at the time, and that he found peace. And when he yeah. passed, he passed from COVID. But he, basically, his liver and kidneys weren't accepting the medicine. He got pneumonia in both of his lungs.
Wow.
And it wasn't accepting the medicine because he had pretty much killed out his liver and kidneys with mm-hmm. alcohol.
Yeah.
So that's kind of ultimately, like, in my mind, that's what took him out at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I feel like just peace and knowing that finally he doesn't have to deal with that anymore, right. Honestly.
That's where that gratefully living, like you have a beautiful perspective on that. And so I really respect that for sure, that you
Thank
have
you.
Such a nice perspective.
It's hard sometimes to, I feel like, find that perspective of it for a lot of people. But
you're right.
Like you said, the gratefully living, like I really am a person, whether you believe in God or whether you believe in the universe, whatever it might be, I firmly believe that everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And there are so many times when those things are happening that we don't understand it.
Yeah.
And it's not until further down the line that we do get to the point where we do understand, this is why I went through that and experienced it.
Absolutely.
So that's why I'm so grateful for literally everything I go through.
That's amazing. I love that. That's a good reminder for people. So what is something that you learned about yourself while in prison? Other than your gratefulness.
honestly, to stand on business and to always stand on myself. And I mean that in every
sense. I love it.
I mean that in every sense of it, too, you know. And taking, like, that from there and bringing it to the real world of, like, always, like, it's me at the end of the day. Because in there, my family wasn't there. My friends weren't there. Like, you're by yourself. You make friends, obviously. Mm-hmm. Some of those are not your real friends. Mm-hmm. And people are always going to be out to get you in places like that, unfortunately. But, like, at the end of the day, when you go 6 feet under, you go by yourself. Mm-hmm. So, like, I always just, that's the biggest thing I felt like I learned through the whole situation, was to stand on business and stand on myself, because I'm the only person I have at the end of the day. And that's, I feel like that's what it probably taught me the most, honestly. Always stand up for myself. Always stand up for, like, others and what, like, I believe in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm very much a person that doesn't want, I don't like people getting picked on. I don't like anything like that. You know, just standing up for what I truly believe in myself is kind of what I learned in there the most. You know, I felt like I had always been that way. And then to actually be, like, literally you're walking into a prison with that houses, you know, 2,000 plus women who were in here for some of the nastiest and worst things you could ever possibly think of. You really have to make sure that you're grounded.
Yes.
And prepared for it all.
You talked about, you know, like some of the misperceptions people have. You met some of the nicest people. Are there other misperceptions that people have about prison, you think, or people who are in prison?
I don't know. You know, I think that sometimes, yes, as far as, like, obviously you are in there with people who have murdered their significant others, or even worse, their children. And that's a really, really, like, hard part to, like, overcome.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely meet some of those people and you're like, wow, you are really, really nice. You're not a scary murderer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? And so I feel like it's hard because you don't want to, I don't know. I don't want to condone anybody's.
Yeah, they're
obviously what they chose to do.
Yes.
But the misconception of that, like, it's gruff. And, like, buff, mean women. Same with men, you know? I feel like it's really not. People are nice. And it's honestly, like, I hate to say this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a vacation.
Really?
And it's the worst thing to say that you could ever say, really. Yes, because, like, you don't have any bills. You're not worried about the real world. And that's why, for me, like, when I look at it, institutionalization is such a real thing because of the comfortability that you have within those walls.
I can see
you, you know what I mean? Yeah. I had a job. I made 11 cents an hour, and I worked from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. And cleaned the dorm. But, like, that was, like, my only sense of any type of responsibility while I was in there.
Yeah.
So I feel like a large misconception sometimes is that you're going in and you're, like, having the worst time of your life and miserable, as most people should be, especially, like I said, people who are murderers or have done those horrendous things, they should be miserable. But one misconception I think is, like, it's really not miserable.
Yeah. That's interesting.
You know?
Well,
and, you know, and you read a lot about, like, the conditioning part.
Yes.
And so then people who are released then, like, and then maybe aren't, haven't really been rehabilitated, and then it's so easy for them to go back in because that is where they feel safest and most comfortable, and it's just what they, and so it's just like a, you know, the prison pipeline and the cycle.
When I had first came home, which I believe I came home in 2022, within the first 6 months of me coming home, some of my friends had come home, and I lost, like, three of them all to heroin overdoses.
Oh, wow.
And none of them, and they were all, like, around my age, and none of them got any of the rehabilitation help while we were in there, and neither did I because my sentence was so short.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in and had, like, a 2-year sentence, and I was really only going to end up serving, like, a year to a year and a half. So they didn't put me into a rehabilitative program, so they just threw me back out. You know what I mean? And that's really a lot of what it is. And because it is so easy in there, it becomes like a home for a lot of people. Uh-huh, and I've seen that even within the people that I grew up with that got incarcerated when we were like 14 and going to like juvie and stuff. And now we're 25 and they're still in and out of incarceration. Mm-hmm. Especially for the people who are like less fortunate. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that bed in the jail or prison is all that they've ever had. And it's the most clothes that they've had on their back or the most food that they've ever been fed. So that's like the craziest thing about it. I feel like misconception wise is it sucks to be there because you're not with your friends and you're not with your family, but it is a comfortability.
Yeah,
honestly, and yeah. It's crazy to think that way, but
yeah,
and I'm not trying to get political, but like also, I mean, I have a lot of questions about like the rehabilitation part, and especially for like drugs and those kind of things, mm-hmm. is prison really the best
option?
The best option if the purpose is to rehabilitate people and get them back in society and functioning. Is that really the best method for it?
In my opinion, no. But also, the judicial system never sent me to rehab. Mm-hmm. They never sent me to any classes. Mind you, like I got incarcerated like 11 times. Wow. And why I kept getting incarcerated was because I was on house arrest or I was on probation. And I kept violating that by mm-hmm. using.
Right.
And never once did they go, hey, there's an issue here. We need to send her to rehab. Mm-hmm. They just kept either wanting my bond money, letting me out, like things like that. So for me, like from what I've experienced, I don't think that prison is rehabilitating for drug addicts at all. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, especially just from how many people I've lost from as soon as they got out. You know what I mean? So
I could do hours on this. I'm not going to lie, but I know that's not the whole purpose of this. But
you're
affirming all of my thoughts is what I will say. No, unfortunately,
you don't have to.
You're affirming my thoughts.
It definitely is. I don't think it's rehabilitative. I think it is where people need to be sometimes.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It does get them away from certain environments and away from other people.
Yeah. And for me, the active addiction I was in when I went at 18 would have killed me. Mm-hmm. So had I not gone and gotten in trouble, because when I got in trouble, I did get clean from pills and other substances that I was using. Mm-hmm. But I picked up alcohol and then became very strong, very bad alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And so it's like I replaced one with another and thought I could stay out of trouble by drinking, but it didn't keep me out of trouble. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely not rehabilitative like it should be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's like a moneymaker for people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. For the people in charge, it's a big moneymaker. Yeah. So they don't care if it's rehabilitative.
Yeah. You just said.
I could get real deep here and like my like crazy liberal beliefs that I'll just keep it to myself right now. Moving on. Sorry, but yeah.
All right. So how have you overcome your addiction, or what support tools were most helpful to you?
Yeah, honestly, like for me, I even came home from prison and still struggled, like the first little bit that I was home. But I had met Cameron, who is my partner now, and his past is tenfold of one, like way worse than mine. He hasn't been incarcerated, but has experienced like the deep depths of addiction and, you know, not having a roof over his head. Crazy things that I didn't experience that side of it. I experienced the incarceration side of it. Mm-hmm. But they both sucked. Mm-hmm. And I feel like how deep and dark his was encouraged me a lot to do better. Mm-hmm. And when we had met, we still weren't like in a really good place. But finally, at one point, we were just like, screw this. Like, we need to get out of this environment we're in, and we're just going to try to do something of our own. And honestly, that is how I became not in a true active addiction and quit using stuff that I didn't need to be using. Mm-hmm. Is really him. And we looked at each other and we're like, dang, we've both been through some really crappy stuff. Let's try to fix this. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've worked really hard to what we have, and we have for each other, kind of, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's really hard though, because there are definitely days where I question it a lot on myself and my sobriety and my steps and everything. But it's ultimately like you have to find like it for yourself. Mm-hmm. And for me, a lot of it is like, I haven't fully gotten to that point yet. And I'm so okay with saying that, you know, because it's always working towards and building a lot. I feel like I do for him, if that makes sense. And one of the like things that they tell you if you're ever in a rehab or anything is never get a boyfriend that's in addiction or that's a user too. But I do feel like we have balanced each other out. We help each other a lot. But now like I'm going through life, and especially I just turned 25 in January, and my mom's always told me that my frontal lobes will start connecting or whatever. I don't think that they fully have yet, but I'm seeing like things start to take place that like make sense for me, and being able to like truly for myself do it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Instead of for somebody else.
I always like to be open about it, because it really is harder, because I haven't fully done it for myself yet, but he's been kind of my tool to get to that direction, to get to those steps.
That makes sense.
So that's how I feel like I've overcome it somewhat so far.
So far, you're on the right track.
And honestly, now like when I had started my addiction and all through when I was incarcerated and stuff, I had the world going for me, honestly, but like didn't look at it that way.
Yeah.
And now that I've stepped back and like I have the job that I have, and have the ability to own my own business, I feel like I appreciate those things more. And I'm like, okay, I can't screw up, because now I finally have something that's like very important to me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that you worked hard for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So what advice do you have for someone who's trying to overcome their addiction?
Honestly, to do it for you and don't do it for anyone else. That's the biggest thing. And there are so many different steps that you can look at and try to learn from, but ultimately like you have to want to do it for you and be in that place for it to truly work.
Yeah.
Because you can, like I said, you can try to do it for a partner. You can try to do it for your mom or for your kids, but until you want to do it for yourself, like nothing else matters.
Right.
Because it's you, it's your body, it's your mind that you're affecting. So that's literally my advice, is that's when you get to that point, that's how you know that you're ready. And just be open about it. If you are struggling, like talk to someone. And it's like you can go to a therapist and talk to a therapist, and they'll connect you to the right persons. And there's tons of resources here. I feel like there's a lot of shame built around it, especially when you're taking it to your family and you're telling your family because you don't want to let anyone down. But there are so many resources here in town that help with addiction.
Yeah. Absolutely. So your partner's name is Cam, right?
Yes.
So how did you all meet?
So we met working in a restaurant here in Owensboro. And that restaurant honestly had a lot of active addiction going on.
Oh, wow.
And that's why
common in the restaurant industry, correct?
Very, very common. My dad was a chef for 30 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I worked in the restaurant with him too when he was still alive. So addiction is very, very common in the restaurant industry. And for us, we were just, that's that point that we were both at, like, we don't want to do this. Like, this is not where we want to be. And for Cam, he is just so passionate about food and loves food and loves what he does.
I love his food.
No, but, you know, he just, for us, it was just time to take ourselves out of where we were and put ourselves somewhere else. So we met at a restaurant and we were like, we really enjoy doing this. How can we do this in a different way without having to work for someone else?
Yeah.
And that's when we had started Cam Cooks For You.
Yeah.
So it started as a catering business, and we had done that until this year, and then we opened the food truck.
Yeah. So you aren't doing Cam Cooks For You anymore? You switched over?
No, we're still doing
both. You're still doing it?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
It's just,
awesome.
Now we're doing like larger caterings.
Oh,
so we can't
awesome.
Take on any small jobs small. Because of the economy, honestly.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
But it's hard to take on smaller stuff. But, you know, like weddings, we do some events here at K-Dub.
Yeah.
Things like that we'll take on and do. And then the food truck as well.
Yeah.
So like I follow y'all on the Facebook. and so I remember like people like around the holidays, you might do like private parties and stuff. So you're not doing those necessarily.
No, we will still do those I like to call it the food truck slower season. So
that's
November and December is like perfect party times.
Okay.
Yeah. And then through Cam Cooks For You, we do like pasta meals sometimes.
Yeah.
So we sell family pasta meals. So we're kind of still active on there. It really just depends on who messages us and what type of event it is, if it works within our other stuff. It's really hard. Food is really expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, and, like, our biggest thing is we want to remain, like, obtainable and affordable for everyone. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard. We have to be pick and choose on certain events just because of that. Like, you know, I don't want to break somebody's bank, but I also don't want us to lose because it's... Food is hard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's expensive.
Going to the grocery store.
And the type
store.
Of food. Yeah. Rough right now. And y'all aren't just doing like... Yeah. I don't know, like grilled chicken with some mushrooms on it. I don't know. I'm trying to think of just like, you know, a basic catering meal. Like I recommend anybody goes and follows y'all's social media because you have the most beautiful food too.
The photos,
I love it when y'all would post like the photos of like those private dinners and stuff. And me and my husband would just sit at home and be like, doesn't that look so good?
I'm telling you, Cameron is very, very talented and is very, very passionate about food. And you know, for him, within his addiction and his mental health, it's just always been like his outlet and his way of peacefulness for him.
Yeah.
So, and it shows to me, it always shows through his food. Okay. I've never had anything that has been bad that he's ever cooked, but thank you. We really do enjoy it.
And y'all won Burger Week.
We did.
And I was actually in line.
Yeah.
At, where were y'all? Y'all were in that neighborhood over by the hospital. When they came to tell y'all that you won.
Brookfield,
I was the next person in line.
Oh my gosh.
When they came up to give y'all the trophy. Yeah. That was the first year y'all had done it. And you won the first year you did it. So I think that says
that's
a lot.
Amazing. That was pretty crazy. It was cool.
That was a crazy, week for y'all too.
I don't think that we will do it again, honestly.
I have heard, and I'm 100% in support of Burger Week, but I have heard from other, that there might need to be some like structural changes to that so that it is like profitable for y'all and worth all the time and effort and
it's,
you know, all of those
people
things.
Just
and
need
rudeness.
To quit being
y'all had some people like
and overall, like, what I think that is like we live in such like a entitlement world right now.
I work with college students, who you tell them
you know what I mean, especially like when we're on social media, and then even more when we're hosting a week that is all about judging, you know, and everyone thinks that they're Gordon Ramsay.
Yes.
Of course.
So people are going to be mean and stuff. And for me, it's just like, we invited that to our school bus. So not like it's what we deserved or what we were asking for, but in a sense it was. And I was like, this just does not, it doesn't match our energy. I'm like a super stressed out person all the time. So I'm like, this is not what we want to do. But overall, like working in advertising in the media side of it, there's one thing that you cannot pay for in marketing, and that is followers. And we gained a ton of exposure that week. So in that sense, totally worth it.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, everybody was talking about y'all. After that. And I mean, I was one of them. And I never even got the burger. But I mean, y'all are just, your following in Owensboro has really just grown.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like every time I ask people, have you had Basil's? And they're like, no, but I hear so many good things about it.
Well,
and they're just like stalking you.
That is not like overall like what Cameron wants is a restaurant. So the food truck is just like kind of our next step to be able to get a brick and mortar. Because his food definitely more aligns with a nice come in, sit down and see what I can make you and make it beautiful.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for date night.
Banging down the doors very nicely. So, and not entitled. Sorry.
So you all have a beautiful daughter, Basil. Yes. You talked a little bit about her earlier. So tell us about her influence on your journey and just tell us about her. And teething, you said.
Yeah, right now. She is teething right now. Honestly, it's just really cool. Like, I never wanted kids. She was definitely an accident. Like, me and Cameron had her, like, 2 months into the relationship. So Cameron, like, you know, it was definitely a little bit of an accident. But she is like the coolest thing ever. I think being a mom is the coolest thing ever. Yeah. I don't know. I have so much gratitude for her because honestly, like, I always wanted to be the designated auntie. I never wanted kids. But now that I have her, I'm like, oh my God.
Like, what was your life before her?
Yes, and it's just so cool. Like, more than anything, that's when people ask me, I'm like, it's really just, like, the coolest thing ever. Like, I cannot express it. Like, I feel like, I don't know, important and just cool. Like, I'm a cool mom. And, like, I hope that she thinks
that. You're loved, unconditional.
You know what I mean? I hope she thinks that one day. And that's a big thing is, like, I have the most supportive mom ever. My mom has been by my side, like, anytime I've gotten incarcerated, through everything. And, like, part of me always questioned, like, why did she do that? Like, why did she do that? And then when I had Basil, I was like,
now you get it.
It all makes sense.
Oh, this is unconditional
love.
It
all
makes
sense. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, and I feel like a lot of, with my dad passing and me finding peace within some of my childhood traumas and stuff with his addictions, when I had her, I was like, oh, my God, like, no matter how my dad was, I think that he genuinely truly loved me the entire time because how can you not? And so that was just, you know, having her is, like I said, like the coolest thing I've ever done so far.
I love that.
But I don't want any more. She's okay. She's perfect. She's perfect and she's it for me.
She'll love to be the only child. Heck
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's going to be, I can already tell. She love is it. A lot of my like little personality right now. And I hope that she continues to have it. Because I want her to be like a spunky little.
Heck yeah.
A little brat.
Strong,
a nice
strong
little brat,
woman.
Of course.
But a kind brat. Yes. That's what I consider myself too. Yeah.
So in addition to your work in the food industry, you're a radio DJ with 97X, Owensboro's Best Rock. So
yes.
That's super fun. That's kind of a new venture for you.
Yes.
So tell us about like what your days look like at the station.
Well, I initially started there really crazy. And big shout out to my boss, Jordan, because my best friend now and one of the most amazing people I've ever met. And he supports me so much. But I went into that job and applied for it. It was a part-time content creator position. So just like graphic design, helping them manage like some accounts on like the graphic side, digital side. And I went in and I told them, I was like, I am fresh home. Like I am out of prison, but I want to work. And I feel like this is a great fit for me. I've always been very interested in this line of work. High school, I did yearbook. Obviously went to UK for journalism. And he did not care. He hired me.
That's awesome.
I was like, awesome.
Wonderful.
In less than a year, I became the digital marketing director. So I still hold that position as well. So I oversee literally all of our digital marketing clients. I manage all of our social media accounts and social media clients. And we own 8 radio stations. So
yeah.
I always wanted to like be in the radio, and I obviously like I want to start my own podcast.
Yeah.
And I've just been so like nervous and felt like I wasn't ready for it, and my boss didn't either originally when I had asked the first time. But in December he came to me and he was like, I think we should put you on air. And I was like, okay, like are you being serious? And he was like, yes. So then in January is when I started on 97X. And awesome. So far, it's been really fun. I go in. My show starts at 6 every morning, so I wake up about 4:20 every morning. And I might wake up at 4:20, but I'm definitely rolling in at like 5:45 every day still.
Yeah.
But yeah, I go in at 6:08, or I go in at try to get there between 5 and 5:30, and start my show at 6, and it runs until 9. And then I do a lot of other stuff all day.
Yeah.
I feel like the morning show is like an important show, right? Like, don't a lot of people listen to the radio like during that time?
On the way to work.
Typically like your morning commute and then your afternoon commute.
Yeah.
I've seen like, I use Facebook a lot to promote the show. Mm-hmm. And like I have a request hour so people can request songs. So like the coolest feedback for me has been seeing the people carry over to the Facebook that are listening.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely like we're not a rated market. We are very small locally owned radio stations. Mm-hmm. So we don't know how many listeners that we have.
Okay.
So it's kind of like sometimes you think you're just talking. You don't know who you're talking to really because
yeah.
you can't see anything. You don't know how many views or listeners. So for a long time, I was like, oh my gosh, like, is
I'm
anyone listening?
Myself.
Yeah. Like, can I say something right now? Nobody is hearing it, you know? Could I be really crazy? But I don't know. Like, that's been the coolest part is the actually realizing how many listeners there are, especially during that morning time frame. Because for me, like before the radio show, I definitely wasn't up listening to the radio at that time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's been like the coolest part of just interacting with the listeners, mm-hmm. seeing the listeners. And for me, the genre on 97X is a little bit new to me, especially there's a lot of like fans on there that like metal music.
Okay.
And I have never really been like a metal fan ever. So it's kind of like touching on like a new genre, and it's opening me to like new local artists or just artists I hadn't heard of. I really like bluegrass music, which is complete different spectrum.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a learning experience too. That's been really mm-hmm. fun for me. And I've been able to meet really cool people. There's a local band, called Bury the Coffin, and one of the guys from there, Jonathan, has helped me like, you know, make connections with other local bands and get to know people and venue owners. So it's just really cool. I don't know how far it is, just besides me being on in the morning.
Yeah.
It's given me opportunity to, you know, do a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah. Do you like to go like get to like go to live events and stuff too, like as a part of that? Like, I don't know. Who was it?
Like concerts and like,
yeah, or like you know, do we had Angel Welsh in here, right?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
MCAT from
MCAT too.
WBKR. And she said part of her job was like she has to go to like live remote things?
Yeah.
Do you do that? Yeah. Sorry, I wasn't being very articulate.
No, I've done some of those, and hopefully they'll pick back up during summer. Summer is like a great time live remotes, like summer and fall.
Yeah.
But last year when we were doing them, I wasn't as much of a personality yet, so I only did them when the other personalities couldn't. But I'm really excited for that, because for me, like local is really important, and I'm very excited to be able to get out and meet other people, because I mean, I've been home for 2 years, but I don't feel like I've had that opportunity to go out and expand my horizons of, you know, connections that I have or nonprofits that I get to work with or things like that. So that's what I'm like most looking forward to within the journey of the radio side, is being able to become a megaphone and like a platform for other people to be able to use their voice and have an opportunity to, you know, get the words out about their business or their nonprofit or what they've got going on. So like the live remotes, I'm like really excited for.
Yeah.
I love my job. It's really,
that's awesome.
Honestly, it's the coolest thing I could ever think of for myself. If that makes sense.
Like,
it sounds like a perfect fit.
I enjoy it so much. And sometimes I have no idea what I'm talking about or what I'm going to say when I'm going in that morning, but I figure it out and it's really fun. I don't know.
I feel like you're going to be like a really well-loved personality. Like as people start to get to really know you even better. I just feel like people are like, just from being at Build Your Crown, and like they, you know, just wanted their picture with you because you're such a cool vibe. And so I think people are gonna really,
that means a lot to me.
I think they're gonna really enjoy like seeing you and get to know you and meet you and all that. So, and then you mentioned podcasts. Do you know like what direction you want to go with a podcast?
Yes, I kind of do, and I want it to be called Gratefully Living.
Perfect.
Eventually. But honestly, like I really want to be able to talk about my experience. I want to be able to have fun in talking about prison as well and some of the stuff I experienced, because I definitely had some girlfriends there. And, you know, when I went to prison, I made sure that if I'm going to be in prison, I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, like, it sucks to say that, but like I said, you got to live
grateful through everything. Yeah.
And like, I was like, I'm not going to be sad and sit in my bed all day or call home and cry.
Because how long were you in there?
I was in there for a year and a half.
A year and a half.
But
okay,
most of my, I spent over collectively 4 years incarcerated, and then about a year on house arrest off and on, when they would let me out for a little bit, which, mind you, house, we were talking about how expensive and how they just want your money. I was on house arrest during COVID, and it was $200 a week to be on house arrest.
Even though you were already, everybody was on house arrest.
Yes, so pretty
what
much.
What were you paying for?
For the ankle monitor. I had to pay $200 a week for an ankle monitor. And then I would get drug tested, and the drug tests were $30. And sometimes they would make me take 2 to 3 a week. It's insane how they make so much money off of people in there. Whoa. Yes.
It's all about keeping the poor people poor. I don't want to talk about it. Okay. Sorry.
But for my podcast, I definitely like think it would be really cool to be able to talk about some of my experiences, how I've made good out of them. And I've always wanted to be able to talk to the women that I was in there with that have come home and be like, what has your experience been like after this? Or like, when we met, what did you think about me? Like, you know, I want to know, because you have misconceptions about prison, about people that you're meeting. Like, what did you think my charges were when you first saw me?
Yeah,
and then when we talked about it, what did you think? Yeah. You know, things like that, that makes it like fun and lighthearted to just see the success that can occur and happen after you come home. And I know for me, like, I'm in a much more privileged situation of my job, of the opportunities that I've had, compared to other people when they come home and what they might come from in their backgrounds. So it's just interesting. That's kind of like, for me, what my podcast would be most about.
I like it.
But just really showcasing like that, even though I went through this really horrible situation and went through it for so long, that there is a chance to overcome it. And that the whole time I was just appreciative of every step, because sometimes we get so stuck in like being upset with ourselves, or like, why did God make this happen to me? Or why did Mother Nature do this? But, you know, just opening the eyes to understanding deeper on why it may have happened and helping people be able to get over that hurdle of it, if that makes sense. I don't know. And I just like to talk.
Yeah, I love that. It's beautiful.
I feel like it would be a lot of me just talking.
Well, we can't wait to listen.
I think there's always value in like putting like a human face on things. I think it's very easy for like people who've never had that experience or any connection to like somebody who's been incarcerated to sort of like make it about like the other you know, but to put a human face on it and to get to know those people gives people a completely different perception and makes things a little bit more real to them so that they can maybe have a greater understanding. So yeah, that would be awesome. Absolutely. Whatever help you need, you just let us know.
Thank you. Think she needs our help. She's teaching us a thing or two, right?
For sure.
All right. So what are some other things that you are involved in or just enjoy doing?
I don't know. I'm so busy all the time.
You don't have time for anything other than
mom. I really do enjoy, though, like, and one thing that I feel like I haven't had, like, the time to do recently but did when I was, like, in high school and in college is, like, be able to work closer with nonprofits and, like, community events and stuff like that, which with the live remotes, I'm hoping I get to pick that up a lot. But that's something that I'm, like, super passionate about. I just care about everyone, even when sometimes we shouldn't. I do, and I just can't help it. And I really like to just be involved and be out and doing stuff, and I want to be able to relate to people. And I don't know, as far as like hobbies though, I don't really have any.
You're busy, you're mom, partner, business owner.
I don't even know what I would say my hobbies are right now.
I don't think I do much.
Scrolling Instagram at night.
I live on social media for the most part. Yeah.
Mind numbing television. That's my hobbies. Who are some women who have inspired you, or if you don't want to name names, what qualities of women have inspired you?
My mom. Yeah, inspires me a lot because, you know, she's just made me understand being a mom and why she loves me so much. But I have a friend, and she's like my best friend at Cromwell, and I've only known her for like 2 years. She's our office manager, but she grew up in like a much different lifestyle. Her name's Kristen. She grew up in a much different lifestyle. She came from a military background and had military parents, and she's, I want to say she, please, if she listens to this, don't kill me, but I think she's 35 or 36, so she's got about like 10 years on me. But just her, like, very much her. She is very, very her and not fazed by anyone else. I feel like I find myself, like, I still get affected. I think it's the frontal lobe thing a lot. I really do.
No, but I still
find that, I wear my heart on my sleeve sometimes, or I let situations that shouldn't affect me as much as they do kind of take control of me sometimes.
Sadly, that might always be a part of you.
Yes. And that's what I'm trying to come, come to surface with. But for her, like, it's just like she's just a very strong, very independent. Cool. And she served time in the Air Force.
Wow.
I think it was the Air Force. Please don't kill me if I messed up. Either, if you're listening, Kristen. But so, like, it's just the drive that she has.
Cool. Yeah.
And, like, the organization she has, the time management skills she has, all the qualities that I don't have.
Very disciplined, it sounds
like. Yes, very, very disciplined. But, like, working with her every day, like, that's what I have. That's someone I look up to now, because that's what I strive to be, because I haven't had that. And I tell her all the time, I'm like, we have, like, I came from hippie parents. Like, my parents were hippies and are still hippies. So, like, for me, I'm like, I didn't have that structural, like, background. I think that helped her a lot.
Yeah.
But now I'm seeing it and I'm like, I kind of wish I did. And then I'm like, I just want to learn from her now.
Yeah.
And she's a mom, too. And, you know, like, I'm learning her, which her son turns 15 tomorrow. But I'm, like, learning her mom traits, and I'm like understanding, like, okay, I don't know, she's just a great person to learn from. And when you sent me these questions, I was like, I don't really know.
Yeah.
But then I thought about it and I was like, yeah, someone I'm with literally every day of my life.
Well, that's going to be so awesome for her to hear that, though.
Yeah. You know?
Well, and she probably, honestly, she probably doesn't think that about herself, because that's just the type of person she is.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I see it every day and I'm very encouraged by it, because that's what I want to be.
I love that.
Especially
that's
the
awesome.
Time management thing.
Yeah. That's a tricky one.
Yeah.
All right. So last question. What are you most proud of about yourself?
I would say, honestly, just always, like, stand, like I was saying earlier, like, standing up for me, standing on business, and standing up for others. Like, I'm just a very, like, I'm so accepting of everyone, and I like that about myself, and I'm very prideful in that, because we live in a world today where people always have something to say. You know what I mean? And when it's firsthand, like, if it's not affecting you, then you shouldn't say anything, you know? And for me, like, I take pride in that I really, I don't, like, as long as you're not hurting anyone else, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I like that. I just like that I stand up for others, that I'm so confident in just letting people be them, and that I just stand up for myself too, honestly. I feel like that's what I'm most proud of, because when I got in trouble, I got in trouble with someone else, and I got in trouble because of his actions. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of me never saying like no, or me never like being a pushover, mm-hmm. if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Yeah. And now I don't feel that way. I feel very much like I stand on business for myself. I stand up for others. And I'm proud of that, because yeah, I think for a long time, I found myself in really bad situations because I didn't know how to say no, or I didn't know how to stand up for myself and look at the bigger picture of this isn't good for me.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, these people are taking advantage of me. So I feel like that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Is to just stand on business for myself and for other people.
I know you mentioned like you don't feel like you're doing it for yourself yet, but like I feel like you're on that track. Like when you're talking yeah. about you're standing yes. up for yourself and standing up for yeah. business, and like, and it sounds like you're really coming into who you are and you're proud of who you are. And I think you're on that track.
Well, thank to, like, you. Be doing I it very for yourself, much am. You know? Like, I will say this, like, I'm very proud of everything I have gone through.
Yeah.
You know, it's very crappy situations. Mm-hmm. I've missed out on a lot. You know, I have 5 nieces and nephews, and they would look at me and be like, please stop going to jail. Please, you know? Yeah, and I could never, like, I don't want to say that I didn't care, but you have to do it for yourself. I couldn't look at, now looking yeah. at it, I'm like, really sad that they said that, but yeah. I didn't want to do it for myself. So how could I ever want to do it for them?
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I think that I'm like so proud of every single mm-hmm. thing I've been through, because it's made me the person that I am and the person that I'm going to continue to work to be.
Yeah.
And like I said, like, had I not gone through all of this stuff, I probably would be dead.
Yeah.
And so that's like the biggest eye opener. But thank you, because I'm hoping more every day that I'm doing yeah. it for myself.
Yeah.
It's hard because, you know, we're our biggest critics.
Absolutely.
So yeah. it's very hard sometimes when it comes to that side of it, of me yeah. being very self-critic about yeah. a lot of things. But like I said, you know, yeah. every day's a new day.
Yeah.
Pushing. Absolutely. Trucking.
Gratefully living. I love yeah. it. Well, I think we're both super impressed with you and just seeing big things for you and like all wonderful things coming
thank
your way.
Thank you so really much. Do.
And it thank you so much for sharing your story and being
of
willing
course.
To talk
that's
about
why,
it here.
Of course.
You know? That's one of the things I appreciate about you in this, like, what, 45 minutes I've gotten to know you, but like, is your openness mm-hmm. and your, you know, I use this word a lot, but like vulnerability mm-hmm. in just like owning your mistakes. Yeah. And learning from them and moving forward. I think other people have a lot to learn from that.
Well, so, thank you. It's yeah. it's really important for me to look at it that way, because I feel like if you don't, then you're going to stay like stuck in those mistakes yeah. and repeating them.
Yeah.
So I feel like if there's one thing that I've done really well, it's definitely that, and just being proud and accepting of it all.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's to doing it for yourself.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Tatum's mom, Teresa Thomas, tells us what she loves about her daughter.
To my beautiful daughter, today marks a special milestone in my journey as a mother. Watching you grow into the incredible person you are today fills me with an overwhelming sense of pride. From your first steps to your latest achievements, every moment has been a testament to your strength, resilience, and unwavering determination. You have faced challenges with grace and tackled obstacles with courage, always staying true to yourself. Your kindness, intelligence, and compassion shine brightly every day, lighting up the world around you. As I reflect on your journey, I am filled with gratitude for the privilege of being your mom. Here's to celebrating the remarkable woman you have become and the limitless potential that lies ahead of you. I couldn't be more proud of you, Tatum.